it's time for real fashion on Pop Off with Mary Jane Pop.
And that's exactly what we do. We pop off on Mary Jane Pop with a lot of conversation, a lot of great guests to give you information for your life. That's what it's all about. You know, if we can share information one-on-one with all the most wonderful people in the whole world, and I do mean the whole world, seriously, I do try and get you the best and brightest, then we have made the mark in our life. And that's what I'm trying to do, is make it a positive thing for you so we can get you people and make you feel better, live longer, live happier, yeah, whatever. Whatever turns you on, we're going to try and find it for you on Pop Off. And I think we've got a nice mix today. If you want to be happy, then you're going to have to hear the story of this one gal. She has been chronically ill, but chronically happy. Now, she's going to give us the secrets of her life. If she can manage to be chronically ill and still be happy, well, she's got it made. Maybe she can share some really great information with us. And then we're going to be talking, one of my favorite entertainers, because I think he was the entertainer's entertainer, was Sammy Davis Jr. And the reason I say that is because this man, you know, he not only was the quintessential person and had a lovely, lovely personality, but he also could sing, dance, act. He was just, when he got on stage, he had charisma. But we're going to talk to the man who really, really knew this man behind the scenes. Not the Sammy Davis that we saw on stage, not the Sammy Davis who was part of the Rat Pack, but the Sammy Davis that he knew personally, intimately. We'll find out all about that. But first, we've got to talk about something that is a cure-all. It's simple. It's healthy for us. Wait till you hear about this.
Hi.
Hold on. Maybe you don't want to live twice, but living once the best you possibly can be is the way to do it. Now, let me tell you about not only what we're going to talk about today, but the man that we're going to talk about today. They used it to fight off vampires. It's touted as lowering cholesterol. Some say it stabilizes blood pressure, but would you believe this magic bullet fights stomach cancer, breast cancer, reduces tumors, and ancient Egyptians in 1500 B.C., I did say B.C., by the way, they listed 22 prescriptions for this wonder. From heart problems to headaches, what is this miracle? Well, hold on to your snoot. It's a hoot. It's garlic. And the guru of garlic is Charlie Fox. He says garlic is king, and he's also author of The Garlic Cure. Hey, Charlie, it's been a long time since you and I talked.
It certainly has, and you still have that vitality and enthusiasm, so I'm sure you're taking Kyolic garlic.
Well, you know, I am, and I love it. I take it every single day. Now, we got to tell people, because the reason I take Kyolic is because it's aged. Now, tell them what the difference is between just garlic and aged garlic.
Okay, we could do what everybody else does, and that doesn't mean it wouldn't be healthy for you. But there are advantages in aging garlic, and we're the only company that ages garlic. We're the only company that grows garlic organically. We're the only company that makes an extract, and we're the only company that has 400 studies to back up what we're talking about, clinical studies on Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer, etc. The beautiful part about aging is it makes the garlic, first of all, a lot more bioavailable to the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it doesn't become a killer that kills germs and bacteria. It becomes a lover. Loves to protect the cells and acts as a body activator. And a lot of people talk about antioxidants and how important they are, but they forget that the greatest antioxidant enzymes are in our own body. And they're really our bodyguard. And what the aged garlic does is activate these antioxidant enzymes, fancy names, you can find peroxidase, catalase, SOD. But these are the forces that keep us healthy. And remember, unless the cells do the killing, we never get well. Because killing something is very easy, but unless the cells do the killing, you never get well. So the aging process changes raw garlic. into a antioxidant form, brings out compounds that are not present in the original, but actually more effective. And I'd like to mention a few of them, but I might.
Yeah, before you do, I like the idea that the body, if provided with the right minerals, herbs, vitamins, whatever, supplements, and also eating right, exercise, and all the other things.
You said it right. You have to have all the spokes in the wheel, Mary Pop, and that means air, water, food, exercise. Probably one of the most important is the space between your ears, because that's the world you live in, and that can do wonders. Faith can do wonders. But in the aging process, it brings out carboline that protects the cells, neutralizes most dangerous free radicals. If you know what they are things that injure the cell caused by the environment we live in, the bad food, the bad air, the bad water. And kylik neutralizes them. It's the only form of garlic that has carboline, so it neutralizes them. Also, a lot of people talk about cholesterol, how bad it is, but my God is a kind and gentle God. It would not put anything in my body normally to kill me. But the oxidation of the LDL is the only form of cholesterol that makes it dangerous. And guess what, Mary Pop? Fructose arginine, only developed through the aging of garlic, only found in kyolic, protects the LDL from oxidation. Then we have another compound, which I just think is fantastic. This is a SP saponin. It's a priceless adaptogen. And what it does, Mary Jane, is keeps the immune system in balance and activates the crucial protective antioxidant enzymes in your body. And I could go on and on. There's about 7 different compounds that are in aged garlic that you cannot find in raw garlic. That doesn't mean raw garlic isn't good.
No.
That doesn't mean that garlic supplements aren't good. But the added value of aging garlic makes it what I believe is the most important supplement you'll ever take, because it's multidimensional.
Excellent.
It protects you from the air, the water, and the food, the toxins that are there. And Mary Jane, believe it or not, we have a study with smokers. If you smoke, it creates free radicals that damage your cell. Take kyolic, it protects you. That doesn't mean you should smoke, but that means you do have a bodyguard all the time working for you, and the body knows the difference.
Well,
that's,
you know,
the
what?
Key
I'm
thing.
Glad you mentioned that, because the Surgeon General just came out, yesterday or day before yesterday, and basically said that even if you don't smoke, if you're near a smoker, you're still going to get the damage. So we
That's
want to
right, secondhand smoke. I read that article. Mm-hmm. And also we have studies on Alzheimer's. We're the only company, Mary Jane, that has over 400 clinical studies. So when I go to a doctor's convention, no medical doctor is going to come up to me and poo-hoo garlic. And I say, sir, here's the blue book. Here's our studies. Here's the abstracts. You can look them up. You can go to our website, www.kylik. We're the only company. We have, Mary Jane, we have more studies than all the garlic supplements on the market put together. They might have one. We have 400. And there is a problem, what I call misconceptions in the industry. I'd like to explain a few of them, if I might.
What, like what?
Okay, first of all, a lot of people think, well, if it doesn't stink, it ain't good. Well, we put that to rest because we have 400 studies, and we have studies on one of the most important ones, the double-blind study on heart disease, which is the number one killer of men and women. And Dr. Budoff, a leading cardiologist, did a double-blind study, which is the gold standard. And guess what, Mary Jane? The aspirin and the statin came out horrible in this 1-year experiment, but kyolic aged garlic put it to shame.
It
lowered.
What does it? I mean, what solves the problem of heart problems with garlic?
Well, but first of all, what you got to understand, what initiates heart disease is inflammation or an injury, and that is usually caused by high levels of homocysteine. One day you're going to go to the doctor in about 3 years, and he won't check you for cholesterol because 40 to 50% of the people have normal cholesterol, have heart attacks, but that's not true with people with high levels of homocysteine. The aspirin and the statin didn't protect them, but kyolic did. In fact, we have a patent from the U.S. government for lowering homocysteine, keeping it at a safe level so it doesn't cause heart disease. We're the only company that has a patent from the government on sickle cell anemia. And one day, Mary Jane will talk about another product that we have a patent on for making a smooth transition from perimenopause or postmenopausal, and that product is called Estrologic, and it does have a patent from the government.
Oh, you're kidding.
And also, there's a lot of companies that keep talking about Allicin. They keep talking about their Allicin content. But Dr. Atkins, the late Dr. Atkins, in his last book, really hit it right on the nose when he said, beware of the promoters of Allicin, because Mary Jane, there ain't no Allicin in any garlic supplement. I know the label will say that, but it's not true. And Charlie the Fox, not the company I work for, is willing to put up $1,000 of his money to anyone who can prove otherwise. And Mary Jane, I've been saying this for 7 years. And I go up to my vault, and I start counting 998. How come I still got my $1,000?
I got you. Now, I want to ask another question.
Sure.
Two things. One is with Dr. Atkins, I don't know, I've interviewed him over the years.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, to me, he didn't live long enough for what he claimed was going to be the good thing to do. The second thing is we talk a little bit more about garlic with cancer. Now, what is in garlic that helps to at least stop cancer? It doesn't cure cancer, does it?
No. We got to understand something. We have to have all the spokes in the wheel. The first thing that is the most important is the food you eat. I had a lady who had breast cancer. She was going through chemo. Thought she had a death sentence. We talked for an hour and a half. It's been 8 years. She is cancer-free. But she did some important things. She realized that what she puts in her mouth has a great deal to do with how her body is going to defend herself against cancer. She cut out all the sugars, which I told her, and the excess sugar turns to fat. Sugar fats cause heart disease, cause cancer, cause many problems. Excess sugar fats are bad. Animal fats are not so bad as people think, and there's a whole philosophy about that. And the proof of the pudding is that long times ago, before we had fast food and junk food, people were eating a lot of animal fats and less sugar fats, and they didn't have the problems that we have today, like diabetes and heart disease and cancer.
And growing rapidly, unfortunately.
It's like almost like an epidemic. But, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting Gladys Block, who was at the National Cancer Institute, and she put it so beautifully when she said, more people are killed by the knife and fork than by the gun and sword. The American diet of fast food, junk food, processed food, refined foods is lousy, and we're killing people because of it. And it's true. Mm-hmm. So we have to, we don't want to be a couch potato. We have to be a smart tomato, so we want to get out and exercise, because exercise and diet are the key to longevity. And I was at the Anti-Aging Center at Tufts University, sponsored by our government, met the researchers there. They put it right on the nose. They said, we have studied aging for 20, 30 years, and we've come to this conclusion that the food you eat and the exercise you do, and I added the space between your ears, are the crucial things that are going to determine how you're going to be performing when you're your senior citizen.
I believe that.
Jane, I will be 79 on July the 8th of 2006. I lecture, and Kenna just came back every night in a different city, and got to bed 10:30, 11, but I take good care of myself. And when people say, oh, Charlie, you're 79 and you run like a deer and jump like a kangaroo and swing from the trees, that's great. You must have been born with designer genes. But no, no, no. I almost died when I was 6 weeks old, had my appendix taken out, had a very serious hepatitis infection, worked with chemicals that cause cancer. But because I realized that the only security that I have in this world is not how much money I make or the material things. If I have my health, I'm a millionaire.
You're
and Jane, I am a millionaire.
Charlie, you're a billionaire. I know that. Is garlic tough on the tummy?
Well, if you took raw garlic, it can be very tough because raw garlic has strong oil compounds, which can be beneficial but can be very irritating. Mary Jane, we give our liquid, aged garlic, to a baby at 3 months old. Try giving it raw garlic juice and see what would happen.
I don't think so. Now, what about dosage? How much should we take?
For a baby, we start about with 1/4 teaspoon in the liquid because they can't swallow a capsule. In our book, The Garlic Cure, we have a remedy for sinus headache. You can't look through my blue eyes because this is radio.
Oh, but I see them.
But we tell people, and it's the truth, and I've done this in my lectures, in 3 minutes, the worst sinus headache is gone. It's on page 80 of the book. We have 139 gourmet recipes, so if you love to cook with garlic, you can cook with. And we have a special section on testimonials and a special section on animal health.
Now, before we get to the animal health, what do you suggest as a daily dosage of the...
Well, it depends on what the problem is. My dogs and especially our horse gets...
No, people.
Oh, people. Well, normally, if you live in Southern California, we recommend that you take anywhere from 3 to 4 capsules or at least 1 teaspoon of the liquid.
Okay.
And if it's an animal, it depends. We have animals that had mange, which is a horrible wrinkled skin condition, animals with sores, animals with fleas, animals with cancer, and it would depend. But if it's cancer, we would usually give them the liquid, and we'd give them about 1 teaspoon twice a day. We have some wonderful testimonials in our book on a cat that had feline infectious peritonitis, which is basically leukemia. The vet said, take it home and it's going to die. Well, Purvis is now 8 years old, doing great. Conjunctivitis, pink eye.
Mm-hmm.
We have cured that with the liquid aged garlic. There's so many wonderful things. 5-FU, which destroys your intestinal tract if you're taking colon cancer, protects it. Adriamycin, which is an anti-cancer drug, which we now know, and there's no argument about it, causes holes in the arteries. We know if you take Kylik, it can protect you.
You know what, Charlie? I got to tell you two things. One is I've been taking Kylik for a long time because you and I have known each other for a good, 8, 9, 10 years?
Oh, I think so.
And I've been taking it for a long time, and I'm a firm believer, my husband and I both. And we just recently started giving the garlic to my dogs, my two big boys, because they were getting we had a flea infestation up here. And I've done it, and honestly, they don't scratch anymore.
Yeah, June Lockhart was very kind. You remember her? She was Lassie's mom on TV.
Right.
Well, she has a wonderful organization where they actually go to the dog pounds. They take these dogs, they train them after 3 months, and they give them away to people who have impaired hearing. But it was very nice. She talked about her organization, also talked about her dog, Tony. And she said, since I've been giving Tony the Kylik, he doesn't have fleas. Well, when I read that article, I got her phone number and said, Mrs. Lockhart, I want to thank you for mentioning our product. But by the way, do you take Kylik? And I was shocked. She said, no, I do not. And I said, why? She said, because I don't have fleas. But we sent her the blue book with our 400 studies, and I can tell you she takes it religiously every day.
No,
you would think that Kylik is a cure-all. And there's many wonderful supplements on the market. But if I only had one supplement to take and only could take one, based on my experience in talking with people from all over the world and researchers, it would be the aged garlic. And aging doesn't make garlic older. It makes it better.
More potent. Now, talk about potency. We got to have a potent way to get a hold of you to find out how to get the Kylik.
Well, we have an 800 number where they can get free samples and literature, and that 800 number is 800-421-2998. They can also go to our website, www.kylik, and they'll have to spend about a half hour looking at all the research. And it's wonderful to have research, but Mary Jane, if there's three things that this industry desperately needs, one, integrity. 2, integrity. 3, integrity. Another company that say they have 12 studies. They knock our aged garlic, telling everyone that fresh garlic is best. they have the Allison. Listen very carefully, because I'm going to send this to you so you can see it in black and white. We've asked them for their studies. They promised it's been over a year, and guess what?
No.
We went to their website. Listen to this. Were they not, Kylik? And then you turn one, page two, three, four, five, six, seven. I'll send it to you. All the wonderful things about each guard.
Fantastic. Now, again, that website is kylik.com.
www.kylik.com.
And that's K-Y-O-L-I-C.
K-Y-O-L-I-C. If they want to get a free sample and literature, they can dial 800-421-2998. We'll be very happy to send them samples. And we would remind people this. If you ignore your health, it will go away. Don't let it happen. You are the most precious thing on earth. By the way, Mary Jane, just quickly, I became a grandpa.
Oh, congratulations.
78 years and 9 months I had to wait, and I didn't realize it. A little baby girl, my son had Faith Elizabeth Fox. Listen, did you know this? That when an infant is born, a girl, the eggs that she has in her ovaries will never be any more than what she has when she's born.
Oh, yeah. And then at 35 or so, they start going away.
That's it. Baby,
that's great. Would you come back and visit again?
I will love to do that. And Mary Jane, we're going to send you a year's supply of Kylik because you're doing such a wonderful purpose in life, getting people to be positive, to be healthy, to be alive, to be vibrant, and to enjoy a quality of life that we all deserve.
You got it. And Charlie, you keep out there and keep going after it.
I'm going to be like an energizing bunny, Jim or Jane. I want to keep going
and going,
but don't want to be gone.
You're my idol.
Thank you very kindly, dear.
Take care, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's Charlie Foss. And again, the name of the book is The Garlic Guru. I should say The Garlic Cure, and I call him The Garlic Guru. The Garlic Cure is the name of the book, and let me give you that website again. It's Kylik. The reason it's Kylik, it doesn't smell. Seriously, I take it every single day, and believe me, I'm in the business of talking to people all the time. If I thought it was going to be stinky all the time, I would not be able to do it, okay? It's K-Y-O-L-I-C, and the website's kylik.com. And the information, again, if you want to get some samples, and he does. He sends out the samples. He'll send out the studies. It's 800-421-2998. And seriously speaking, I do use it. I mean, I wouldn't tell you if I didn't use it. I'd say I'll try it or, you know, I'll test it out, et cetera. But it actually does work. This stuff is good, and it keeps your blood pressure down. It keeps you healthy. You know, I keep you healthy. I want you guys to stay around for a long time. Now, coming up, we're going to talk about a man, as I said earlier, I idolized him as the entertainer's entertainer. He is a terrific personality, I should say was a terrific personality. He was part of the Rat Pack with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and that group of actors and singers and entertainers. But he was a very special person, and not a lot of people know him one-on-one, what he was like behind the scenes, what he had to put up with as a black man during the time that he was an entertainer. And we've got the man who is going to tell us all about that and a whole lot more. He was the entertainer's entertainer. Sammy Davis Jr. was an extraordinary talent and a human dynamo. Now, his story has been told, or has it really? It only skimmed the surface. Even his own autobiography only skimmed that surface. But now you will hear it from the man who really knew him, Arthur Silver Jr. Now, Art was Sammy's production manager, assistant, business manager, I should say business partner, constant traveling companion, and most important, his best friend and even blood brother from way back in 1946. Now, Art tells it all in his book called Sammy Davis Jr., Me and My Shadow. Hey, Arthur, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Nice to be there.
Now, you got to tell everybody, how did you meet Sammy Davis? This is way, way back, right?
Yeah, it's as briefly as I can. I was in high school, senior in the high school, and my father was Sammy's manager, and had known Will Maston for many, many, many years, way back before I was born, and when my father was in vaudeville. Anyway, my father took a book to show into Hawaii for the 442nd. That was the Nisi people, the Nisi group that fought with us during the Second World War. And it was a summer vacation. My dad said, "Do you want to go?" And I said, "Of course." And I went to Hawaii, and Sammy was on that show. He was just out of the Army. Mm-hmm. And we were the two youngest kids, literally the two youngest kids on the, you know, with the group.
Right.
And the others were all, you know, vaudeville performers. And so we naturally hooked up together because we started playing, and that's where we met. And that was in 1946.
Now, how did you become blood brothers? I mean, literally.
Well, that's a story in itself. All these are, of course, covered in the book. But we one of the things that we picked up along the way was we used to fight with swords, for lack of a better expression. And
you mean literally?
Yeah, he cut himself in between his thumb and his forefinger, and it started to bleed. I actually cut mine. He says, "Well, if you're going to cut yours, you know, if you got cut, then I'm going to cut too." So he just sliced. These things are very sharp edges, mm-hmm. And he just made a little slice, and it started to bleed. And we just put our two hands together, thus blood brothers.
I mean,
you wouldn't try that today, of course, okay. You know, but. Back in those days, it was, you know, fairly safe with doing that.
Now, you actually knew the man, Sammy Davis. You know, we always saw him on stage. He was always smiling. He was always happy. We always thought he was the quintessential entertainer's entertainer. But there was a man behind that who had some sadness, too, right?
Oh, yes. A lot of it. Sammy's career Sammy's career is what it was, is what you just said it was. You know, he was the quintessential entertainer and was probably the greatest entertainer that ever lived. Entertainer is a big word. It's not designated as a singer, as a dancer, as Frank Sinatra.
Right.
He's a singer. Frank Sinatra didn't dance and play seven instruments, you know. At any rate, but Sammy's thing was, Sammy's motto kind of was, became, and very early on, became is, I want to be just as equal as everybody else. Now, you got to think of the time period we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah.
And so he broke down so many barriers for the people of color that, you know, they're all listed, well, a lot of them are listed in the book, and how they came to be busted. And he just wouldn't accept no. Matter of fact, the title of his own biography that he did many, many, many years ago was... Yes, I Can. And Yes, I Can stems from the phrase, no, you can't do that, Sammy. No, you can't do that. And his answer was, yes, I can.
I love it.
And that's actually how he derived the title for the book, he himself, his own biography that he wrote.
He faced a lot of obstacles during that time. But I couldn't believe when I read in the book, and this surprised me, I must say, because I always thought he was a very, very strong man, and I still believe he is. But you actually stopped him from suicide one time?
Well, there's a long story attached to that. Yes, I did. He was forced. I'm going to shorten this as best I can.
That's okay.
He was forced into marrying a white girl because of his romance with Kim Novak. And I mean, there was a hit put out for Sammy. He had 48 hours.
No, you mean he was forced to marry a black woman?
He was forced to marry a black woman.
Right.
So, but he still had the ongoing romance with Kim Novak, which was a very big thing. But at that point in time, Kim Novak was the biggest star at Columbia Pictures,
and
Mr. Cohen wouldn't allow that to happen because
right.
He was also gang affiliated. At any rate, he put out a hit on Sammy, so Sammy got married, and then I'm really jumping around with this, but he did get married within that time period to take the pressure off. And then on the night of the wedding, after the wedding, we had a you know, a party, big party over at the Moulin Rouge in Las Vegas, which was the new black hotel, which was one of the hottest hotels in town, by the way, at that time. And everybody went after the show. At any rate, Sammy, who was not a drinker at that point in time, got blind drunk. blind drunk. He was drinking, you know, whiskey out of an ice bucket.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, at any rate, I took them both, he and his wife, back to the hotel. She went running into the hotel, and I picked up Sammy and carried him in because he couldn't walk. He was screaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why won't they let me live like a human being and so on and so forth, et cetera, et cetera. He actually tore the arm off my suit coat.
He
at any rate,
he loved Kim Novak a lot, didn't he? I mean, that.
Oh, that was that was pretty hot, and she too. You know, she'll deny it to this day, but this, you know, there's no denying that. I mean, I have plenty of proof of that. But it, that being said, I went to attend Lorraine, which was his wife, who was sitting in the living room, and I had plopped Sammy down on the bed because they had given him the bridal suite at the Sands Hotel. And something just tells you, you know, you get a feeling.
Yeah.
Something just tells you, something told me to go in and check on him because I thought he was out cold. And just as I walked into the room, he was putting the gun, he had a little 38 caliber gun, which he shouldn't have even had on him. The gun story is a whole other thing about all the guns, but that had to do with his fast draw. But at any rate, that being said, he was putting guns there, so I just took one big leap because I'm a pretty good sized guy.
Oh, wow.
And I just jumped on top of him, naturally twisted the gun away from him, you know.
Oh.
And I put my knees on his shoulders until he passed out. And then, of course, I went and collected all the guns because we had a lot of guns in our room because of the fast draw thing, and we practiced all the time. But that's how that one came to be about. A lot of things people don't know, too, that was the second time Sammy tried to commit suicide.
Really?
An unknown fact about Sammy was that Sammy used to live in a beautiful home just above the Sunset Strip. And his mother, his stepmother and his father were living with him in this big home. And they used to get into fights all the time. They got into a terrible fight, and Sammy had enough problems going. He just got so mad one night. He wasn't drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he just took his Thunderbird and drove up the hill. Then there was a lot of empty lots up above the Sunset Strip. And he tried to drive he had a Thunderbird. He tried to drive the Thunderbird off the cliff.
Oh, my God.
Except that there was the berm. There's a lot of dirt roads, you know, then.
Mm-hmm.
And the berm at the side of the road was high enough that as he started to go off, the berm, or the side of the road, caught the undercarriage of the car.
Oh.
And he got hung up. He couldn't go anyplace. The car wouldn't go over.
Yeah.
So he went to a neighbor's home and knocked on the door. He called me, and I lived in driving time. I lived about, at that point in time, 20 minutes away, 50 minutes if I go real fast. It was late at night. I went up, took a rope off my car, pulled him off the berm, and he went back on home, and that was the end of that.
Cool.
And people don't know that. A lot of people don't. That's a very unknown thing because, well, who would know but Sammy and I?
Well, see, Arthur, I think that's the whole thing. We saw this man on stage. He was so good at what he did because he was an artist. And we never knew the other side of the story, the pain that he had to face. I remember seeing, and I can't even remember what movie it was in, but it was the Rat Pack on stage, and it was one of the Vegas hotels. And here comes Sammy, and it was like they always made fun of Sammy. He used to accept that, but that must have hurt sometimes.
Well, that's the thing was, when they started to make Ocean's 11, the original Ocean's 11.
Right, which is the best, by the way.
Yeah, oh, by far. By far, the others don't even touch it.
No.
And they were all staying at the Sands, and at that time it started out being called the Summit at the Sands. And then that became, quote, the Rat Pack. The name Rat Pack did not come from Frank or any one of those people. It came from Lauren Bacall, Humphrey Bogart's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They I'll tell you that, and then I'll jump. I'll finish off the rest of that, the other story.
Okay.
The Humphrey Bogart and Errol Flynn and a bunch of his buddies used to hang out, because they're all big drinkers.
Mm, oh, yeah.
And they were hanging out in the den at Humphrey Bogart's house. And Lauren Bacall happened to walk by. She says, oh, there they are, the Rat Pack.
No kidding.
That's where the name started.
Oh, my.
And Frank and them picked it up. The world has picked it up. It is now just as big, if not bigger, than it was when they were all alive. And actually, they only appeared together three times. And each time they appeared together, quote, as the Rat Pack, then one person dropped off because you had Sammy, Frank, Dean, Peter Lawford and Joey Bishop. That was the Rat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next time they performed together after the movie thing was done, they opened the hotel in Miami Beach.
Oh, okay.
Hotel in Miami Beach. And then it was only Frank, Dean, Sammy, and Joey Bishop. That was the second time they appeared together all.
So Peter Lawford,
but now we've already dropped off Peter Lawford.
Uh-huh.
And then the last time is when Frank tried to buy up Lake Tahoe, which, by the way, is just up from where I am. I'm speaking to you now because I'm doing a second book, but I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Was buying the Calneva Lodge. But it was tried to buy it with Sam Giancana too, and that stopped them. They pulled a license away from Frank, so that the end of that. But then it was only Frank, Dean, and Sammy, the three. That was it. So there's a huge misconception. It goes without question.
Well, you know, people who are famous, and Arthur, I don't have to tell you this. People who are famous, all the stories that come after they're gone are much bigger and much more blown out of proportion than when they were alive.
You bet. Because any time any newsworthy person has any kind of something to say about any one of the three of them, the Rat Pack has just developed into an icon of these three guys. And you'd think it's all they ever did was just, you know, go out, have a party, drink, and that was it. Well, they all were back in those days. They were all making. I mean, you needed a tractor to pull Dean off of the golf course, and you know Frank was doing his own thing, and Sammy was traveling all over the world. So, you know, whenever they got together or there was a big Hollywood to do, yeah, they were all friends and great buddies. But they didn't spend it day after day together. It's ludicrous.
Amazing. You know what? This obviously, we can't tell all the stories. I've got to have you come back again. You know that. That's a given. Because there's so many other things. I know there's things about how you actually met Princess Grace of Monaco and the Queen of England.
As you know, we could go on forever
with these
stories.
I'd love to have you back again, though. That's the way I do things. I'd love to have you back. I'm installment number two with you.
Okay, well, I do want to tell you this because this has just started.
Yes.
Because of the book, you have it, so you know.
Yes.
The book is 352 pages long. Inside that book, there are 325 pictures that nobody has ever seen, which you know because you had the book.
Yes, I do.
The book has been out long enough now that people kept saying, oh, God, there's pictures, because they'd never seen these pictures. These are my pictures and Sammy's pictures.
You bet.
And there are hundreds of them.
Now,
well, they say,
you've got to
do a coffee table book, and that's what I'm starting. I arrived in, I'm in Reno, Nevada now, where my assistant is, and I brought up with me almost 900 pictures.
Wow. So
and we're putting together a coffee table book.
When's that going to be out?
Oh boy. I just got here yesterday evening, and we've got to go through all these pictures and try to put them in some chronological order, because there's a lot of pictures that appear in the book that you have. There won't be in this book, because this is a picture book. But I have to be there because, you know, I was such a big part of his life.
Now,
he was such a big part of mine.
How do they get the Sammy Davis Jr., Me and My Shadow?
Right.
How do they get it?
Oh, how do you get it? The quickest way I'm telling people, because I do so many of these interviews now, because the book's been out for a while, the cheapest way, or the least expensive way, is to go to get it from Amazon.com, because you save about $4 or $5.
Right.
Or go to Barnes & Noble or any one of the other bookstores. Barnes & Noble has been our best release,
big
bookstore. And if they don't have it on the shelf, they will order it for you.
Don't you have a website?
Oh, yes. Yes, I certainly do. Sammy'sbook.com. That's not hard to remember.
Sammy'sbook.com.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that'll take you to a lot of places. And a lot of information about this book, too.
You know what? I'm going to have to give you a call after I get off the air, because I want to have you, number one, scheduled again. And number two, remember I told you the book, Marilyn, Joe, and Me, June DiMaggio Tells It Like It Was to Mary Jane Popp?
Yeah.
It's coming out this summer.
Oh, that's great.
And I want to I'd love to have maybe a quote from you in the book.
Oh, well, that is very kind. The number that you just called me at is where you're going to reach me all day today for sure.
Fabulous. I'm going to definitely talk to you because we got a lot to talk about. And then I want to know as you progress also with the new picture book, because people, that's the whole thing. We've got about 80 pictures in our book. And again, not before seeing photos. And that's important. People need to see the behind-the-scenes stuff, not all the stuff that they've seen from the studios.
Well, the pictures have drawn. I have seen it happen 100 times at signings and this and that. People who had, young folk, who had no clue who Sammy Davis Jr. was, is, whatever was. They pick up the book. They see the pictures. The pictures, everybody looks at pictures.
Yeah.
And then their eye will naturally go over to the side, and they'll read what's under the picture.
You bet.
And then they go over to the text, and they start. I have seen young people, 18 years old, who, you know, having a clue, start reading, and they say, oh, I've got one person, matter of fact, right here in Reno, a young lady came really hip, you know, with funny-looking hair and all of that. She bought the book for her grandfather for a Christmas present. She sat at the table and was talking to me, and we kept talking like you and I are doing now, but we went further into the other side of Sammy's life, which is what you mentioned, is the part that hurt, like, and the things that Frank did to Sammy and Dean did to Sammy that hurt Sammy
now,
deep at one point.
Hold on to that thought. Don't give it away, because we're going to have you back, okay?
Oh, okay. I won't give it away.
Terrific. You're going to come back again, and Arthur, thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off today.
Okay, I'm happy to do it, and you know, call me at this number for the next 9 days, and then the other number, which I know you have.
I'm going to be on with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary Jane. Nice to talk to you.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye now.
We see the glitter, but you got to get the truth, and that's what we're always looking for on Pop-Off, seriously speaking. And Arthur has wonderful stories in this book. Again, it's called Sammy Davis Jr., Me and My Shadow. The website, again, is sammysbook.com, or you can get it at the bookstore, but it does. It has phenomenal pictures. And I kind of took some lessons from Sammy's book, I'll be honest with you. In the book that we have coming out, Marilyn, Joe, and Me, that's about Marilyn Monroe and Joe DiMaggio, and June DiMaggio is the niece of Joe DiMaggio, her stories and other stars. We went after photos that it's not the posed studio photos. Everybody's got those. So why would we want to do just what everybody else has done? These are different. That's why Arthur Silber's book is unique, because it's got these kinds of photos and these kinds of stories that no one has ever heard before. That's the important part of what we try and do on the air with Pop-Off. And, of course, we'll always try and do that for you and make it special. We see the glitter. We're going to get the truth. That's where the truth is now. The truth has to come out. All this coming up for you. Oh, talking about living life to its fullest. Well, this next lady knows exactly how to do that. And this is one lady you definitely want to know, simply because she can change lives by the life that she has lived. Let me tell you about her. How can you live with a chronic illness and still be happy? Well, Lori Hartwell did and does. Now, in her book called Chronically Happy, I love the name of the book, by the way, she talks about joyful living in spite of chronic illness. And Lori shares stories and how to live life to its fullest for all of us. Now, each in our own way. We all have our own specifics. By the way, she is president of Hartwell Communications. She was named Woman of the Year, Woman in Business Award. I mean, it goes on and on and on. This woman is busy. Lori, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thank you so much for having me.
And, you know, I think the whole story here is that we need to find out what it takes, because you found out, well, your parents found out, obviously, that you had kidney disease at the age of 2.
Yes, back in 1968, I was diagnosed with kidney failure due to the E. coli bacteria, and it ultimately resulted in both of my kidneys failing. I had to undergo 12 years of dialysis, and I now have a successful kidney transplant that's been lasting, it's been a little over 16 years.
You actually had three transplants, right?
I've had three transplants, and my first two actually didn't work, but my third one, my apologies, my dogs were outside, and I'm sorry about that. They found out that I had kidney disease, and the first transplant was in 79, and they just didn't know a lot back then. But now technology is getting so great that transplant is working really well, and I'm an example of that.
It's amazing to know that you have struggled, and yet you come out on the other side saying, "I'm a happy person." You know, how can we pass that on? Because so many of us, every single day, something very minor, you know, we're driving in traffic, somebody cuts us off, and we get all bent out of shape. It's nothing, right?
Well, you know, I've learned that, you know, adversity, it really introduced me to myself. And the only thing that I've had a choice in my life is my attitude. And it sounds really, you know, kind of when people hear that, like, well, how did you do that? And one of the things that I learned was to surround myself by things that make me happy and to really not try to focus on the negative. And as you can see, I have dogs. I love animals. So animals are a very important thing in my life. I do things that I love, and I try not to get caught up in some of the things that don't bring me joy, because it's so important to pursue your dreams. And that was one of the biggest things that I found was difficult having an illness, is people forgot that I had dreams.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Laura,
because I had an illness.
People have a tendency when you're talking to someone who's ill, you're almost like talking finally to them, like it's the end or something. Instead
right.
of every day is the end of your life. You live it to the fullest.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when I was not feeling well, people say, "Oh, well, we can't ask Lori because you know she may not feel well." Give me the right to say no. You know, that was one of the biggest things. And then I also learned is to teach people how to, you know, basically treat me. If they were doing that, they probably weren't aware of it. So I would just speak up. And that's what I talk about in my book, is about how to really communicate. I mean, it's so important to connect and understand what you need, because you can't expect people to be mind readers.
And the other thing, too, you mentioned animals, and I think part of that, we should take some examples from animals, because first of all, they give us unqualified love. They're not asking for something in return other than a pat on the head and some good kibble. And they say, you know, "I love you for what you are, no matter who you are or how much you have." And that's what we should do with each other.
It really is. I mean, but unfortunately, in a society, we don't. I mean, it amazes me. You know, I run a business. I have a nonprofit organization called the Renal Support Network for People with Kidney Disease. And, you know, I'm like 4'10" and a half. I'm a petite woman. And, you know, they see me and they see that I have kidney disease, or they know about it, and they really expect that I should be sitting on the couch.
Mm.
And not, you know, that's the expectation. And
right.
it's quite intriguing to be able to say, you know, wow, I can accomplish anything. And I think one of the things that animals do is they don't judge you by how you look. I mean, my dog knows that I can walk him and he's happy about that.
Exactly. But you know what? How does a person turn their attitude around? Because we've got so much, and the media is part of it. You know, you hear it from radio, you see it on television, you see it in the magazines, in the newspaper. You got to be successful. You got to have a big car. You got to have a big house. You got to make a lot of money. It seems that we put everything on the material and nothing on the spiritual.
Well, I think what happens is that, you know, I tell people who call me and they say, you know, it's really hard to get out of this mood. And sometimes depression can be a medical diagnosis. So they need to actually, if it's prolonged, they need to get medical help and seek a healthcare professional. But one of the things is that sometimes we just have to make up our mind to change our mind. And let me give you an example. When I'm depressed, I know what makes me happy, and it's color. I will drag myself to the craft store or a flower garden or something like that, because I know that that makes me happy. The worst thing to do is when you're kind of feeling depressed is turn the news on. You know, but when you're not feeling well, sometimes it's just nice to plop in front of the television and turn on, you know, the latest news. And it'll never make you happy because they don't talk about the good news. So
exactly.
It might be a better choice to go over and turn on some music that you like. And all of these small steps add up to big steps.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because even in some hospitals, I think they're getting it finally when they show a lot of the old slapstick movies with Abbott and Costello or the Three Stooges. Make people laugh. If you can laugh at things, it helps a lot. I think it gives you that kind of boost in your body.
Exactly. And it's just about changing some behaviors, some small behaviors. If you have people in your life that are always, you know, bringing you down and nagging you or whatever, I mean, you limit your time with them. Or if you can, you avoid them. I mean, if they're not your family members,
you know,
you can't always have control over that. But then you start to seek out people that have a better attitude. I mean, you know, they say if you want to, you know, fly with the eagles, you have to find out, you know, there's like optimist clubs.
I'm glad
you said that. You know, meeting people that have a positive attitude, because that's what really
helps. Late in life, I'm discovering that. I mean, early in life, it was like, oh, I have to tolerate, I have to take it. You know, no matter how miserable I am with this person, I got to be. No, I don't. You know what? I'm going to be with people who are positive, who are going to make me feel good, and I'm going to try and make them feel good, and we move on together. And those people who are negative and always, you know, always have something bad to say about other people, they should not be in my life anymore. And I don't mean I'm going to hurt them, but just kind of remove myself, you know?
And also you can be an example to them, because you could tell them that, you know, your negative attitude is bringing me down, and try to give them an opportunity to change as well.
Yeah, but they don't get it.
And most of the time they don't, but I always feel like I have to try.
Give it a shot anyway. Now, do you have a website, by the way?
I do. I have a website. It's LoriHartwell.com, LoriHartwell.com, and it talks about my book and the different varieties. And if anybody has kidney disease, there's a link to a lot of information about how to get help.
You know, it's wonderful that you have the kind of attitude, and your attitude should be kind of infectious in a positive way to every one of us, to be able to take it not only from people who have like a major disease, but they have perhaps depression in their life, perhaps they have something bad in their life with a relationship. This can be transferred into almost any aspect of life.
Right. No, it's so true. I mean, I'm a perfect example. I've had 36 surgeries. I'm finally older than my surgeries. And I really don't believe there's an excuse to, you know, to try to say, okay, I can just have a negative attitude. Everybody's purpose in life is to try to find their passion and what they're here for, no matter what your circumstance. And it's really hard to do that when you have a negative attitude.
You bet it is. Now, the book itself, Chronically Happy, where can we get it?
Well, the book is, you can get it on Amazon.com, and you can also get it in several bookstores. I'm not sure exactly which ones that are carrying it, but it's available. You can also go to our website, LoriHartwell.com, or you can call me, and I can send you a copy at, if you call 818-244-9041, I'll be more than happy to get you a copy, and I think it's $12.95.
Now, let's give that the phone number again.
It's 818-244-9041.
Okay, great. You know what I'm going to do, Lori? I always put all this information up on my website, on popoff.com, so I'll make sure all of that's there, okay?
That would be terrific.
Dynamite, and thank you. Keep up the good work. We need more like you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you helping spread the message of chronic happiness.
Boy, happiness is something we all need in this life, and it's, like I said, you're a good example, and we're going to use you as that example, put you out there, and I'll follow you.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Take care, Lori.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. That's Lori Hartwell, the name of the book, Chronically Happy. Oh, isn't that something? She is absolutely incredible, and we need to take lessons from people like her, and I do mean that seriously. And speaking about taking lessons from people, we need to take a lesson on everything that we do on Pop Off, so that we can make our lives better. And that's what my purpose is. Popoff.com, that's where I'm going to put all the names of the guests, their websites, the name of the book, any of the information that we have on the show will be up on Popoff.com. And, of course, I'd love to hear from you, Mary Jane at Popoff.com. And don't forget, put where you're emailing me from. Okay, I always say calling, but emailing me from. Simply because we may be coming to your town when we do a tour, either with the show and or with the book or a combination of the two. Mary Jane at popoff.com. And again, as I always say, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, you dare to dream. That's what it's all about, dreaming. And it comes from the heart. And that's where Pop Off is always going to come from, the heart.
Yeah. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.